Good. I can't see as I have to move around sometimes. I can't see it. Okay, let's learn. Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Tzaves Aaron. Command Aaron v'yazbon of Lemar. Command Aaron and his children saying, Zois Toras Oila. This is the law of the carbon oila. Okay, the law of the carbon oila. One second. Mayor Stark is calling. I think he wants to log on. I thought he was calling to log in. I'm sorry, because he tells me he wants the link. He wasn't calling to log in. Okay, this is the law of the oila. This is the law of the oila. This is the oila al maikta. It is on the side of pyre. Okay, al mizbech kol halayla ana baiker until the morning. The ish hamizbech took ad bay. There's a lot going on in this pasuk. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi over here says, Tzaves Aaron, Eim Tzav Elo Lashon Zirus, Miyad El Doris. Amar Rabbi Shimon, B'yoyser Tzorech HaKos El Lazarus, B'mokim Sheyesh Bei Chesaron Kis. Okay, over here the word Tzav, there are two lessons Rashi is learning from the word Tzav. Number one, Tzav means Zirus, Miyad, immediately, and for all generations. Okay, how does Rashi know that? Why is that so that the word Tzav automatically means now, and for all future generations? And we're going to start now. No, there are certain mitzvahs that did not start immediately. They first began after Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. And then there are mitzvahs that began immediately, but it came to an end. They were temporary. For whatever reason, this mitzvah is unique in that it starts now, and it goes on for all future generations. That's a bit problematic, because in our generation, we do not have a carbon oila. There is no Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the other mitzvahs are not dependent upon the Beis HaMikdash. Alright, we'll leave that for now, whatever that means. But Tzav Ein Tzav Lashon Zirus Miyad Uldoros, period. Amar Rabbi Shimon, B'yoyser HaTzorach HaKosel Zaretz Mokim Shirish V'chasar Kis. Then the next lesson is, there's a loss of money. Why is there a loss of money? Well, obviously a carbon oila, you get nothing out of. If you bring a carbon and you have a nice steak, a delicious, sumptuous dinner, so you're getting something out of it. But when you bring a carbon oila, you're getting nothing from it. Nothing. The entire animal is burnt on the mizbeach, and the hides go to the kohanim, so the balabais gets nothing. That's a loss of money. So a person will think twice before he brings the carbon. He's not going to be so quick, so swift to bring the carbon. Okay, that next. The zoyz taras oila. What's the purpose of this parasha? So Rashi says the purpose of the parasha is to teach you that the burning of the fats and the limbs, it's kosher the entire night. You can burn the main purpose of the living over here, because some of these halachos already were taught elsewhere. I don't know the part. I don't remember what last week. I don't remember learning about an oil last week. Okay, last week there was no oil, but whatever. But he's telling us over here, he's coming to teach that you're allowed to burn the fats and the limbs on the mizbech the entire night. You bring the carbon by day. You must put the blood and the emurim on the surface of the mizbech by day, but you're allowed to let the emurim and the fats burn on the mizbech the remainder of the night, the entire night until the morning. Okay, that's the next thing. Ulame, it's also coming to teach you al absulin. Okay, it's coming to teach al absulin. Ezim ola yarad, the ezim ola lo yarad. It's also coming to teach you about in this parasha. We're going to learn about different types of disqualification. Sometimes you have a carbon. The carbon is not valid. It's not kosher. Why is it not kosher? There can be 100 reasons why the carbon is not kosher. sometimes if it's not kosher, you are required to remove it, to go up to the top of the mizbeach and get it, if you can identify it, and remove it from the mizbeach. And sometimes the halacha is that if you are not required to remove from the surface of the mizbeach, once the carbon already found its place in the surface of the mizbeach, you can let it remain there, and it stays there. So it's coming to Yisrael. So the Ezin will Yavi Ezin will learn. Shekol Torah L'Rabbi Subal Leimar Torah Achas L'Chol Olim. What's the drasha? The word Torah. Wherever it says the in the Chumash, the word Torah Zois Torah, it's coming to be marbe. It's coming to expand the scope of what is written explicitly in the parasha. And here it's coming to teach you a chiddush, since it says the word Torah juxtaposed to the word Oila, it's teaching you. This point is very important, what we're learning right now, because when we learn the Targum is going to touch upon this. It's coming to teach you that anything that is Oila, that ascends the surface of the Mizbeach, does not come down, even if it does not belong there. In other words, according to Rashi, this is a very important point, and that's only in the because of the Targum, the word Oila, we have a dilemma. Does the word Oila mean a carbon called Oila, or does the word Oila mean simply something which ascends, something which goes up? And if that's what the word Oila means, this has nothing to do with, you know, this pasuk refers to every single carbon in the entire Torah. There are so many carbonas. Okay, there's the chatos, there's the shlamin, the carbon toida, the carbon pesach, there's a chagiga, there is an asham toloi, there are bird sacrifices, there are minochos that are offered on the mizbeach. There are many, many varieties of carbonas, and in each variety they can be brought from different types of animals. So when it says here in the pasuk the word oila, what does that mean? Does that mean we're referring specifically to a certain type of carbon, the carbon oila, not the carbon shlamin, not a mincha, not a carbon chatos? Or when it says the word oila, oila means every single type of carbon that ascends, that is brought upon the surface. Oila just means to go up. So the drasha here, okay, this is really what Rashi here is saying, and it really changed the entire Rashi. Over here, Lulamed is coming to teach you alapsulin with regard to carbonis that are disqualified. Eze im olayard, the ezim olayard. Which of carbonis that are disqualified, that are not going to bring, where the owner, who has an obligation to bring a carbon, has not fulfilled his obligation, and is required to bring another carbon, yet, although that may be true, you still do not take the carbon off the mizbeach. Once it's there, let it burn on the mizbeach. So in this context, the word oila means to ascend. How do you know that's the drash? Shekol toiras toira. Whenever it says the word toira in the toira, l'raboy subot's coming to expand the scope. Loimar to teach you toira achas l'chol oila is going to be one law for all things that ascend. V'afilu psulin, shem alu lo yerdu, if they go up, they do not come down. Okay, we'll come back to that a little later. Hi ha'ayla, this is the ayla, l'maydes ha'revelias ha'nivir drashas. He is a miut, not every ayla is allowed to go on the mizbeach. If an animal was involved in having relations with a human being, this is a disgusting act, which is detestable in the eyes of the Torah, and it is not permitted. Such an animal that was either the male animal or the female animal in an act that was done with a human being is not permitted to go on the mizbeach. V'chayotze bohen shelo hayipsum b'kodesh shenifsulu kodem shelo lehazara. This means that this is a disqualification which the animal, a defect which the animal already had before the animal entered into the azara. There are certain defects in korbanos which first come into existence after the animal is sacred. Animal is offered, it becomes slaughtered, and now it becomes tamei. Or the animal comes into the mikdash and the kohen has an invalid thought. He thinks that he's offering this carbon for Reuven. Really, it's meant to be offered, meant to go for Shimon and the like. So those are disqualifications which come into existence after the carbon has entered into the Beis HaMikdash. But then there are disqualifications which are much more severe, which they are already been disqualified before they came into the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say it's a blemish. Or in this case, the animal was involved in an Avera. So the animal is considered is defective, and this cannot be brought. So therefore, he ha'ila, the word he is coming to be, might is coming to limit, not every animal is fit to be carbon oil. Okay. So let's now go back to the, that's the pasuk. Let's read the pasuk one more time. By Davos Lemar, Sav is Aaron, Sav, I want you to command and be Mazarisim. Chizuk. Number one, Sav means now, this law starts today, and it will continue for all generations. Number two, the reason why I'm using this term Sav is because there's going to be a loss of money. The carbon, when it's offered on the Mizbeach, a carbon oil, at least for sure, or you know, it's not only carbon oil, every single carbon you bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a loss of money. Part of the animal is going to be burnt, and part of the animal is going to be given to the Kohanim to eat. And even if you're very happy, but who says you want to bring a carbon altar? Who says you want to go spend this kind of money? Even though you may be getting a nice dinner from it, who says you want to spend this kind of money? You don't go every night out to a restaurant. Every time there's a loss of money, Sav means, every time we have the word Sav, it's a warning, Mikano Ludoiros. Whenever there's a loss of money, the Torah needs to be mechazik, the person, that even if you're losing money, do not worry about the money. Okay, Tzav is Ami as Bon of Lemar, Aaron and his children, Zoyz Taras Oila. Here we're making the drush where Torah is coming to be Marbe, it's coming to expand the scope, Ha'oila. And what we're saying over here is anything that offends. The word Ha'oila here doesn't only mean a carbon Oila, to exclude a carbon Chatas, a carbon Shlamim, but it's coming to expand the scope and say anything which ascends upon the Mizbeach, these are the laws. He ha'ila, he means not every animal is fit to ascend the Mizbeach. The word he comes to be memayit, comes to limit animals that have a defect before they came into the Beis HaMikdash. Al ma'ida, it shall burn in the pyre. Al ha-mizbeach, the pyre is upon the surface of the mizbeach. Kol halayla, you can burn these things the entire evening. Ad ha-boiker, the esh ha-mizbeach, the fire of the mizbeach, tukad bo shall burn. Tukad is a very interesting word. Tukad means to burn. It shall be ignited bo upon the carbon. Now let's see the targum. Umalel Hashem im Moshe leimar paked yosad and yosbenoi leimar command Aaron and his children da oiraisa. Over here he says he is oiraisa. This is the law, the alosa of the oila. He alosa. It is the oila. Dimi tokda that is burned al madcha kol lelia the entire night at safra until the morning. The ishosa dimad bicha. The fire of the Mizbeach, Tehei Yokta Bey shall burn it. Now let's see, there's some very interesting things over here on the mat. Sorry, to open up wide this pasuk. He Olosa. Okay, these are the laws of the carbon oil. Olosa. Targum Ha'oila. Targum Ha'oila. Carbon Sheshma Oila. Velo Nefarish Ha'oila. Shemalim Oisa. So the Targum says, "Kimoi ha'oilo hi lemala," like it says, it's not a word. Shemalim is a poel b'hoivitz. It's not a verb. What a sense. Kimo ha'oilo hi lemala. V'amiku yaver lelamid al ha'psulim ha'oilim al mizbeach shelo yeridu. So let's clarify. What is he saying over here? First of all, he's coming to make a very important point. That in Sefer Koheles, the word ha'oila appears there in the exact same form. Ha'oila hi lemolo. Who would know the pasuk? The context of the pasuk there, right, is who would ever know that the neshama is oila hi lemolo? person's neshama ascends to the highest place, in contrast to the soul of an animal that descends into the ground after it leaves this world, after it dies. Okay, a dog is man's best friend. People spend enormous amount of money on dogs. Enormous amount of money on dogs, but Chazal seems to indicate that the neshama of a dog, when it dies, it goes into the grave with its carcass. But the neshama of a human being, after the body expires, the neshama is ho'ilah hi lamala. The neshama ascends up high. Now, if the neshama ascends up high, the word over here, ho'ilah, is a verb. It ascends. So this is the pasuk in Koheles, same exact word, and there it clearly means an object that is going, ascending high. So now in our pasuk we have a question, it's really a zoistaras ho'ilah. What does this word mean? Does this mean this is the law of a korban that has the title called Oilah? Or does the word Ha'ilah here mean that this is the law of something which ascends, as the word is used in Sefer Koheles? So here he's saying over here Ha'ilah. Now the Targum over here gives us some insight, because the Targum says, Targum is having us with Leymar, Dod Oiraisa, the law, Da'alosa. Now the word Da'alosa, I don't know grammar, I don't know Aramaic grammar. The alosa seems to be it's not like a simple word. The alosa, you have to see how the Targum would translate the word the oila, but he seems to indicate tirgem ha'oila carbon. It is a specific carbon sheshma oila. The loy nefaresh ha'oila. He did not explain the word ha'oila shema alim oisa, which means to ascend. Hoyel b'hoyle, which would mean a verb, k'mo in koheles oyle hi l'mala, v'yamikra yavo l'lamet, and if the pasuk would mean that, then the pasuk would come in to teach us ala psulim, v'yamikra yavo l'lamet, ala psulim hoylem ala mizbeach shalo yerdu. In other words, it would appear that there's an outright disagreement between Rashi and Unkelis, if I'm not mistaken, what he's saying over here. Rashi clearly says that the word, this is what he's saying over here, according to Rashi, never really appreciated this, according to Rashi, Toras Ho'ilah does not mean a carbon oil. Okay, stop the average fellow on the street and ask him, could you please translate the words Zois, this week's parasha? What time are you davening this week? What time are everyone davening this week? My shul is davening at 7 o'clock. Okay, I got an email last week from another shul that I davened sometimes. They said we're davening next week at 6 o'clock. And then I got a correction email yesterday. Mistake, we're not davening at 6 o'clock, we're davening at 7:30. They went from 6 to 7:30. Big difference. The other shul that I davened, and they only sent one email, we're davening at 7 o'clock. So 7 o'clock, we'll be davening nice and early. Zois Taras Ho'ilah, translate those words. This is the law of the Oilah. According to Rashi, the word does not mean a carbon Oilah. This is the law of objects which ascend upon the surface of the Mizbeach. Hare'ini na zebololamed al hektech alavim, fats, ve'evarim, it's coming to teach you about fats and limbs, she'yehe kosher kol halayla. What else? Ulalamid al psulim, and disqualified objects. Eze im ola yorat, ve ezim ola lo yorat. We're not discussing the carbon oila. We're discussing things which ascend. Shekol toira l'rabu suba lo matarachas chol oilam. Anything which ascends. Asil psulim shim ola lo yerdu. Okay, that's it. Hi ho oila. And then when it talks about the next word, it's the same thing. This is what ascends. And the word here is a meal to teach you, don't bring any carbon that the animal was once involved in a sin. So Rashi clearly here learns that the translation of the word oila is, this is what ascends upon the Mizbeach. The Targum disagrees. The word ha'oila means this is the law of the carbon oila. We're not discussing the carbon shalanim. We're not discussing the carbon osham. We're not discussing the carbon toida. We're not discussing the carbon chatas. We're not discussing the purim and the seidim hanisrafim. We're discussing the carbon oila, period. That's it. So we have here a major machlekes between Rashi and the Targum. How do you know? Because the Targum translates the word alosa. The do oraisa, this is the law of the alosa. The alosa, I guess, I don't know Aramaic, but I guess the word the alosa is a term which is a noun, a proper noun. We have the aleph at the end. It's a proper noun, meaning this is the carbon oila. We're not describing something which ascends. That's the first principle about this parasha. It's a very beautiful thing to bring out. The Machlokes Rashi and the Targum. I'm very curious. Rabbi Lazy, you have an Arshul Chumash in front of you. How do they translate this? We're going to put now the Arshul to the test, because Arshul and the Hakdama claim that they translate the words according to Rashi and not according to Unkelus. They broke tradition. All the translations were always translated according to the Unkelus, not according to Rashi. But Arshul.
It says, this is the law of the Ola offering.
Ooh, buzz, gang, art scroll. They have violated a horrible violation of their own rule in the Hakdamah. To that art scroll chumash that you have in the first page, they write here that our translation is unique and that it's going to follow the translation of Rashi. The English translation is Rashi, not the translation of Unkelus. It broke tradition. And you see, they got it wrong here. Because according to Rashi, it's not oil. According to Rashi, it's clear as day that it is something which ascends. What they translated is the classic translation of Unkelus. All of the old translations of the Chumashim were all based upon Unkelus, not based upon Rashi. And here, they are in violation. That. If you look in the front page of the Chumash, it says that you see over here, have to write them a letter. Makes a difference. Okay, next word is al maikda. What's maikda? Means din mi toikda. Okay, al maikda asher nisrefes perish maikda shehi poil b'hoyve lefi akavon v'lo lefi hamila v'loy perish maikda shein etzem. Here's another machlokes in Rashi and the Targum. What is the translation of a maikda? So I always translate it so that it means a pyre. Okay, that's a hard word for me to pronounce. My limited vocabulary, a pyre. How to spell it and pronounce it. P-Y-R-E, is that how you spell it? A pyre. What's a pyre? A pyre is a collection of wood and twigs. You have to talk to a pyromaniac and ask them exactly how to make a fire, how to make a central location where you can burn, toast, you can roast something upon. So that's a noun. Now that's not what the Targum says. Targum demitoikta is the Hebrew translation of the Aramaic translation, which is the translation of the Hebrew. We're going to Chagadia. You have the Hebrew. And then you have the Aramaic, and then we have to translate the Aramaic back into Hebrew. And when you go in the circle, you discover that the translation of the Aramaic is not a precise translation of the original Hebrew.
Rabbi.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Rabbi.
I'm listening. I'm here.
There is two different translations. The first one I was saying that is the Amtron, which is a straight Rashi,
okay.
And in the blue one, in the Somish thing, it says elevation offering.
Ah, unbelievable.
So they're using two different words.
Okay, so in the blue one, they're following Rashi, and in the article, but it's very bizarre because the blue one is just a general translation. The Chumash and Rashi, this is Chumash and Rashi. And the one that's the Chumash and Rashi, they're not translating. They're going out of their way not to translate it like Rashi. Isn't that bizarre? They should have translated it like Rashi. The one that's the Chumash and Rashi Sefer, they should have adopted it translated like Rashi. Very strange. All right, to each their own. Whatever it is. I'm surprised because I thought they were consistent. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Now, here's the next dilemma, the next machlekes. What does it mean, al maikda? So, I always thought it means the pyre. But it seems the Targum disagrees. The Targum here says the mitoikta, it's a verb. Asher nisrafes, perish maikda, shehi poil bohoyle. It is a verb. A poil is an action that is happening bohoyle in real time. Now, a real time verb. I don't know what that is in English. Poel behoive. Lefi akavana, according to the intent, v'loi lefi hamila. V'loi peirash maikdash shein esem. The Targum did not translate the word maikda as a noun, a pyre. Okay? Shein kain, and in fact is, the truth is, the Gemara, Mesech the Yoima, on the Aflam Gimel, actually defines the word maikda, and it defines it as a noun. Zoi marocha gedoila. It defines it as a pyre. Okay, the big pyre, there are many different, I think there are four or five fires, I forgot. There are a few different fires that are burning on the surface of the Mizbeach. One was for the Korbanos, one was for the Ketores, one was an Esh Min HaShamayim, maybe there was another one there, I don't know. But there were a few fires. So when it says with the Maitah, this is the Marocha HaGedoyla. The Shnei Gizri Eitzim also, maybe that was the fourth one. This is divish. In kein hoyim etargim al asar, it should have translated al asar means the place, base yikidosa, on the location of its burning. So he's asking a question. Kitargim yonasan ben uziel. So we have another. See, this is another very good thing. We have to compare the targumim. We have the targum yonasan ben uziel, and we have targum of ungulus. And Targum Yonasan ben Uziel translates the word Maikda as a noun. Al-Asar, upon the location of the place where it will be burnt. Where it will be burnt. Ungulus did not say that. Ungulus said that it should be burnt. The Oila Asher Dimitoikda, which is being burnt, is in a state of being consumed by fire. That's not what we expect. We expect the word Maikda to be that you shall put it al Maikda upon a location. That's why that the proof is Asher. That's what the Targum did. He adds any words. This is what is the oil. According to the Targum, Lashita said that the oil is the name of a korban, and the Targum is Lashita said the oil offering, Asher, which is Al Maigda, Asher, which is in Perushoy Limbaikda. Okay, so the Targum says, I think he's referring to the other Targum. The other Targum is that word. Okay, let's go back, let me go back over here, go back to the Targum Yoinasan ben Uziel. He translates it Al. This is the Targum Yoinasan, let's clarify. The Targum Yoinasan ben Uziel, he added the word in Al. Al Asar Beis Yikidasa. That Targum Yonasan Uziel. Over here, go back to Al Pasik. He Alasa. This is the carbon oila. Dimi Toikda. There's no Asher. There's no Al. He's very Mekatzer, the Targum Unkelis. This is the carbon oila. Dimi Toikda. That is being burnt. Al Madbucha. That is being burnt by fire upon the Mizbeach. He's translating the word oila as the offering called the oila, and that he oila, it's a zois taras oila, he ha oila, this is the oila, al maigda, it says in the pasuk the word al, and al, basically al, according to Unkelis, al means, how is the word al? he doraisa da losa, he alosa, the dalit. The word al turned into the letter dalit. The mi toigda. This is the oila. The mi toigda. That is being burnt. According to Yoinasan Ben Uziel, it says he ho oila, al moita. Al means asher, which is being put. It's not being burnt. It's not being burnt. It's being positioned upon a location where it will be burnt later, not now. Okay, that's the difference. Okay, let's leave with that. Now we go to the next word, safra. You can burn it the whole day. The whole day and the whole night until the morning, until the tzafra. Tzafra is the boker. Kol tzafra ramban, bale apshat oimim ki kol oif yikore tzipar mimash nemar tzipar shmai mudigei hayam. V'hanochoin be'inai sheshem tzipar kol al oifos haketanim hamashkinim baboker l'tzafsef ul'shoyer meloshen aramis tzafra, the morning. She'ein Hashem kolal oifos kulam. Okay, here's an amazing, amazing thing, which is an incredible insight. Why are birds called tzipoirim? Ki kore kan tzipor. Why are birds called tzipor? Tzipoira. Okay, there are women, there are some women who are named tzipoira. Why? Why are they called a bird? Why is it called tzipor? So you would say, listen, you know, that's what the word is. The word tzipor. Tzipor means a bird. Well, I mean, what kind of question is that? So the Tanya over here says something that's incredible. That the word tzipor is not a real word. The word tzipor is borrowed from safra. Safra means the morning. The word bird, there's no word for the word bird. A bird is from another world. A bird is not really part of this world. Birds fly. Birds were not given a proper name. Because birds, they live in Shemayim. They go to Shemayim. So when we want to describe them, we have to borrow an earthly word, a word of Gashmias, and we use that to reply to a bird. So in the morning, there's something called Safra. Safra demora. Tava. How do you say good morning in Aramaic? Safra demara tava. May the morning of the master, may it be good. In English we say good morning. But in Aramaic, the adjective is the other end. Safra demara tava. Which means may the morning of the master, may it be good. The word safra means morning. That word, safra, which really is an Aramaic word, is being borrowed and is being applied to a creature called the bird. And because birds wake up nice and early, they get up nice and early, as soon as there's some semblance of light, they're already out there flying around, making noise and chirping. They identify with the morning. We call birds a tzipar. And that's not amazing, but I don't know what is. And let's read these words over here. Safra, tzipor, safra. Kosaf Ramban, the Bale Apshat, Oimim, the Bale Apshat say, Ramban is calling the Bale Apshat, he called Oif, he called it tzipor. Every bird is called a tzipor. Mima Shanem, Shomar, tzipor, Shamayim, Udige Hayam. All birds are included in the catch all phrase called tzipor. The Hanachon Be. First he starts off by saying over here is that's the name of a bird. It's a proper name. Hashem, this word is reserved for birds, no different than every other creature and every other word in the Hebrew vocabulary. However, the hanochoin be'enai, the Ramban says what I really hold to be correct, shoshem tzipar kol ha'lo'ifay saketanim. Okay, the word tzipor does not refer to all birds. It only refers to small birds. Hamashkinim baboiker. Only small birds awake very early in the morning with tzafsef, the shomer, to chirp, and to sing the Loshon Aramis. Safra, Safra is Boker. She'ele Shem Koyle is Kulam, does not refer to all birds, only refers to the birds that are early risers. So that's just a fascinating thing of Safra. We learned that over here, Ad HaBoker. I just want to add to that. I really told you already, but why would we want to do that? Because birds really are not earthly. Birds resemble malachim. Machazal needs to compare a person to a human being as a malach. A malach flies. A malach has mobility, not like a human being. A bird, it's an amazing thing. Could you imagine if we could fly? Wouldn't it be amazing? Why couldn't Hashem make a human being where he can fly? Why are we grounded to the earth? And we're very lucky that we're wireless. There are creatures in this world. I don't think they exist anymore. But they used to be, well, look like human beings. As I'll talk about this, where they had the umbilical cord in the earth. So if a person's survival depended on being connected, getting plugged in, can you imagine getting plugged in? As you want to get an extension cord. We don't make extension cords for human beings. So could you imagine, wherever a person was created, that's where you're stuck. You can't walk, you can't go longer than your umbilical cord, which is plugged into the earth. And once you cut that cord, you're dead. That's it, you're out of gas, you're out of juice. Hashem did an incredible chesed with the human being, that Kadosh Baruch Hu made us wireless. Made us wireless. I tell you, I was joking with this kid. You know, the children today, they don't know what it means. They don't know how to use a rotary phone. They have no clue what a rotary. You show them a rotary phone, they don't know what it is. They think it's an iron. So there was a kid. I showed him a rotary phone, and I showed him there was a cord. There's a cord. And why is there a cord? Why is there a cord on the rotary phone? Every phone is wireless. Who doesn't have a wireless phone? Every phone. Since in the olden days, they had cords to make sure it didn't get lost. you would tie the phone down to the wall so that no one should walk away with the phone.
That's why it's called a landline.
It's not because the phone needs a wire to get the connection, needs to be connected to a wire. What kind of mishigas is that? Every phone today, who doesn't have a wireless phone? The only reason they had these funny wires connecting the receiver to the wall was for one reason. They didn't want people running away with the phone.
That's why they call it landlines, Rabbi.
Try to tell that to a kid. But guess what? Though it's so sad, they'll believe you. When you'll tell that, they'll really believe you. But in any event, birds, it's an incredible thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu made human beings wireless. You don't need to be connected to the earth. Birds are even more than that. Birds can actually leave the earth. They don't even need to touch the earth. Birds resemble malachim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, there is no Hebrew word in the entire Tanakh to describe Hashem. There's no such thing. There is no word. The closest we have to Hashem, to identify Hashem, is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Chazal say, is a composite of three Aramaic words. Hoya, Hoveh, V'yiyah. This is not Hebrew. Hoveh is Aramaic. And you take those three words, three Aramaic words, and you morph them. The common denominator, you have to show you on paper how you morph the three words together, it turns in the common denominator of Hoya, Hoveh, V'yiyeh, turns into Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. A Yud, letter He, Vav, letter He. So, what is so bizarre? In Tanakh, which is all about Hashem, there is no Hebrew word that defines Hashem. The most we can possibly do to define Hashem in words is, number one, Aramaic, a translation, because Hashem is basically not definable. And when you have a translation, you know, a lot gets lost in the translation. And we focus on one particular element of Hashem, time. So when we try to identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's impossible. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond us. The most that we can do is we can describe him. When we describe him, we don't even describe in Hebrew. Because you can't describe Hashem. You have to acknowledge you can't describe Hashem. So you have to shift to a secondary language as a basis of a statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not describable. We'll just give a dogma, the best that we can in another language, in Aramaic. And even in Aramaic, there's no word. So we'll just take a concept that's beyond humanity of time. This world, it's a one-way street. It's linear. Time goes forward. You can't go back in time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoya, Hove, V'yeh, three words in Aramaic. So I want to suggest to you, based upon that principle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same is true when it comes to birds. Birds are not godly. I'm not such a fool to think such a thing like that. But birds have an element of spirituality that's beyond us. Because they fly. And flying is something which, to us, is very disturbing. Because we can't fly. And when we think about flying, when you fly, there's no limit in space. Just like by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no limit in time. Hoya Hove V'yeh. We also refer to Hashem by the term Mokoyim. Baruch HaMokoyim Baruch Hu. Why Mokoyim? Because human beings cannot be in two places at the same time. If you're in this Mokoyim, you're not in that Mokoyim. You can't be in two Mokoyim at the same time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited to Mokoyim. A bird breaks the barrier of Mokoyim from our perspective. So a bird, there's something about a bird that's very disturbing from a human perspective. And therefore, we distance ourselves from giving a bird a name in Hebrew and instead focus on an Aramaic word, which is an acknowledgement that we can't even connect, we can't even identify what a bird really is. And we just borrow a term of Boker, Safra, and we take that and we use it to define the human, to define the bird, and we call a bird a tzipar. Okay, that was that's special here. The ishas of the fire, who loshen yachad ayin milum kete tehi yakta lo tegim kloshen akasuv, does not say like the pasuk of tukad and lefi akavonetia. You can say things as I said before. It's not a one-time burning, it's a continuous burning. So go back to the pasuk over here. We learn one pasuk at least, beginning of Tzav. Tzav is Arni Yitzman of Lemar, Zoytzer HaSo'ilah. According to the Targum now, this means this is the law of the Korban Oilah. Olasa, with an alpha at the end. Hi Ha'oilah. This is the Olasa, Al-Maita, which, according to the Targum, which should be burnt. It should be burnt. It doesn't mean I'll put on a location. The word Maikta is not a pyre, according to the Targum. According to the Targum, you have to go back in the Arsh and see how they translate the word Maikta. According to the Targum, Hiyoila Al Maikta, it shall be burnt on a fire, which is Al HaMizbeach Kol HaLaila, Ad HaBoker, until the Tzafra. The Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo, this is also very interesting, a continuous burning. Targum doesn't say that it should be burnt once. That's not, I don't know if the Rashi comes to argue at that point, but the fire of the Mizbeach shall continuously, a continuous application of fire to consume this korban. Rashi clearly disagrees. Rashi, they don't discuss tzav, there's no discussion of tzav. Okay, they doesn't discuss only a pakeid. He didn't want to go talk about that word pakeid. I don't know, there has to be. He's leaving out something major. And this Atzari is not telling you all the secrets. But I have no doubt that the word pakeid has there's something very big in that word. If Rashi over here is going to town and telling you ain't tzav el lashon zirus metal duros and it needs makom shesh chasar and kiss, you can bet your bottom buck that Rashi is coming to take issue with the word pakeid. He didn't like that word. And therefore he had to make a statement. I don't like what the Targum did over here. I don't like that word, pakeid. He zoys taras oila. Rashi disagrees with the Targum. It means what ascends. And then he goes on to say, He ha'oila. He, this is what ascends. It's the mind all kavodas. Okay, and that's pretty, whatever Rashi doesn't comment on, l'chara you could assume that they agree. What does it mean the word maikta? Rashi, no comment. No comment. What it means maikta. All right, we have to stop over here, by side. Thank you so much for coming. Tomorrow night is Wednesday. Now tomorrow night, I don't know if we'll have a shir. We'll see. If we do have a shir tomorrow night, if we do, I hope we'll have. I'm not so sure I'm going to be able to come tomorrow night. I have to make some last minute preparations for Pesach. But if we do have a shir, we'll probably learn tefillah. The nusach tefillah. We'll learn maybe about something of the nusach of tefillah of the sholei shugolim. Maybe Musaf, maybe we'll see something about davening. If we do learn, but we'll see Mitzvah tomorrow. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful night. All the best, everyone. Zay gezunt.
Okay, good night, everybody. Okay, Servus Leiter Rashi.